here. It says, Perek Dalid, Pasuk Aleph, Vayidvar Shmuel b'chol Yisrael. The word of Shmuel spread out to all Bnei Yisrael. Like, everybody heard that he was a Navi and he was this amazing person. He saw the cross, Pelishim, Melchama. Bnei Yisrael then went out to engage the Pelishim. Mor v'yachnu el Evna Ezer. They camped right by Evna Ezer. It's an area called Evna Ezer. U'plishtim chanu ba'efek. Right? And the Pelishtim, they camped at an area called Aphek itself. So now, here we see, and this is the idea behind it, everything that Shmuel and Navi saw in the previous parak about what was going to happen to Eli and his kids and whatever it was, that's going to happen again. Now, all of a sudden, something is going to happen. So, it's a little strange, but it seems that the people over here went without asking anybody any permission. Normally, when they went out to war, there was a leader. But at this time, Eli was old, and nobody really trusted him anymore. The Bnei Eli were not leaders, and Shmuel and Avi was still young at this time, right? Not trustworthy enough. So therefore, they went without asking Shmuel. So Rashi says it was a fulfillment of the Nevuah, because Hashem wanted them to be destroyed. Radak says Shmuel told them to go, even though they would lose. And it's a testament to Bnei Yisrael that even though the Nevuah was something strange for them, where they lost a war, even though Shmuel and Avi told them to go, they still trusted Shmuel, because Shmuel never said they were going to win. And therefore, they still trusted it. Very strange redak. Either way, the Yarchu Pelishim Lekras Yisrael. So the Pelishim went for battle, and they met Ibn Ezra, by teachers of Mochama. The war spread by Nagav Yisrael of Pelishim. They plagued in front of the Pelishim. The Yaakov Amarach Abbasadah Kabrasa Lavimish. About 4,000 men died in the battlefield.
Yeah. This is first official Nebuah?
His first official Nebuah in last week's Parsha, yeah. Oh, but no. But the one about going up against the Pelishim?
Yeah.
Second. The first one was about what happens with Eli's kids.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So this was an unofficial one, so to speak. Vayavo Amalmach, and they came to the camp. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu hit us in front of the Pelishim? Nichalinu Mishilu as Aron Bris Hashem. You know what we should do? Let's take the Aron Bris of Hashem. Vayavir Kerbenu, it'll come with us. Yoshenu Mikafo Yvenu, and it'll save us from the hands of our enemies. It's crazy. Tanir Velio says that the reason why they fell was because of the sins of the Bnei Eli. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu reprimanded Bnei Yisrael, saying, when the sons of Eli did something disgusting, Bnei Yisrael didn't consider the holiness of the Aron. But now, all of a sudden, when you're at war, you remind yourself about the holy Aron itself? Now, that's very, very strange. What did they do wrong? Mitzuda says they should have asked the Urim V'Tumim, or they should have gone to Shmuel and Avi to ask him what they should do over here, or they should have davened. Instead, they immediately took the Aron Kodesh, and that is a messed up idea, to say that the Beis HaMikdash will do what we want to do. What we want to do, there's a difference between these two names, and you know both of these names well. Shmuel and Yishmael. Yishmael is a non-Jewish name, right, even though we do have a Rebbe Yishmael, etc. Shmuel is a Jewish name. What's the difference? Shomael, God heard my prayers in past tense, is a Jewish name. Yishmael, God will listen to my prayers, as if I am forcing God's hand into doing this. That is something that is absolutely disgusting, and we would never do whatsoever. That's the concept behind it. And that's a messed up faith, so to speak. That's the idea behind it. Now, in previous wars, they did bring out an Aron Kodesh to war, but they did not bring out the Aron Kodesh. They brought out an Aron that was known as the Aron made by Moshe Rabbeinu, where the broken Luchos were. Some say there were no broken Luchos there. They were just an Aron. They brought that out with them, but they never brought the actual Aron. This Aron they brought out was the one with the Kruvim on top of it and the Kaporis, etc. It was the real Aron. Vayishlacham Shiloh. They sent over to Shiloh. Vayisum Yisham as Aron Bris
Hashem. Wait, what? So this is the real one?
They brought out from Shiloh the Aron Bris Hashem Tzvakos, Yosheva Kruvim, the one with the Kruvim on it. Shom Shnei Bnei Eliyim, Visham Shnei Bnei Eliyim, Aaron Brisol, Kim Chofni Pinchas. The two sons of Aaron were there, right? Chofni and Pinchas, and they were there with it. Now, here was the problem. They were standing there, and the Bnei Yisrael came to take out the Aaron Kodesh. They had a choice here. They could have fought Bnei Yisrael and said, stop it, this doesn't belong here. But again, the Bnei Eli were weaker than that. When they saw this is what the people wanted, they said, okay, then we'll make it happen. We'll go with, so that it becomes at least special for us. That's the idea behind it and what it was over here. But this is a very, very, very strange thing for them to have done. When the Aron Bris Hashem came to the camp, they screamed out loud.
Is this a different Pinchas?
Not the original Pinchas.
Okay,
no.
It's
Eli's son. They screamed out loud, and the earth roared. They shouted as if they had already won the war. That false security caused them not to daven, right? That's the idea behind it. We don't shout at that time. We don't shout going in. We shout going out, We shout when we're leaving. We shout when everything's there, because until victory is in our hands and secured, we cannot stop davening. And that was the problem that they had over here. They heard that noise. What's going on over here? They heard, oh, it's the Aron of Hashem that came into the Machna. That's what they heard, right? It was so loud. Then now the Pelishim were afraid. They said, oh my gosh, God is with their camp now. We've never seen anything like this before. Now we don't know what to do. Maybe we shouldn't have even fought them before, because we're going to have to fight the Aron Kodesh. That's how the Kli Yakar puts it. That's how scared they were of what was going to be. Oy lanu miyatzi lanu miyad alokim. Woe to us, who's going to save us from the hands of God? Ha'adir ma'ela, these great gods. Remember, they didn't believe that it was just one god. They believed it was gods. Eileim aluhim ha'makimis mitzrayim b'chol makav ha'mibor. These are the gods that smote the Egyptians in the desert itself. And again, they were idolatrous, so they believed it was plural gods that were helping them out altogether. But it's unbelievable. They were sitting there and they didn't know what to do over here, right? They said, what's going to be? How are we going to be able to save ourselves? We have absolutely no idea what to do with ourselves. That's how scared it was. Now, one thing over here is the craziest thing to think about. It's been 400 years since Mitzrayim, and people were still talking about it. It shows how awesome what happened in Mitzrayim really was to the people around them. It was crazy. People remembered it for 400 years. Now, think about it. Would you remember, would you say, like, oh man, remember that Revolutionary War? And that was only 300 years ago. 300 years ago. Not even. Less than 300 years ago.
The conquering of Israel.
Nothing. Yeah,
it's very strange. Who was alive at that time?
Nobody. Nobody
so
is alive.
How do they know that?
They're remembering from the past and what people have told them before, what's going to be. Right. That's what they heard, but they didn't hear anything else. It's just crazy that was so in their consciousness that it was still there. But there are some that say that the Pelishtim were saying they're no longer there. It was optimism because they saw this. All the plagues that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in his arsenal, he already gave against the Mitzrayim itself. Nothing is going to happen, anything. God doesn't have any more plagues. So Hashem said, oh yeah? I got a good plague for you. Wait till the plague that you're going to see when you win this war and you take down HaKadosh, you'll see the plague that I have. We're going to see with the hemorrhoids and the rats. A worse plague than anything the Mitzrayim could have had, arguably so. So in Pasuk Tes, Jeff, right over here, worse, much worse. Pasuk Tes. They got up and they said, strengthen yourselves, be like men, O Plishtim. Pen to Abdul Ivram. Maybe you're gonna have to serve the Ivrim, Kashu Abdul Lacham, just like they were serving Ivrim. I want you to be men. I want you to wage war. I want you to go ahead. They said, you have strength. Even if we're going up against the gods of the Jews, who cares? Let's at least fight. It's sort of like, if we're gonna die anyway, we might as well die fighting. And that's what they said. We're going to say something like that, and we'll go through. It seems interesting that the Greeks had a very similar view, that a valiant fighter, right, could overcome anything against him. So they had the same type of view of, like, we'll go, we'll be Moser Nefesh, and we'll see what happens. The Pelishtim waged war, and the Israel were plagued, because again, they weren't davening. They assumed that the Aron Kodesh is going to win the war for them, and that's not how it works. Each man ran all the way home. The Maka was so great. And that's the reason why. Because they were already running away as soon as they saw the battle started to be lost. They just ran away completely. 30,000 foot soldiers of Bnei Yisrael. This was not an orderly retreat. The Malbim says it literally was because of the retreat that caused the people to die. The Aron of God was taken. Two sons of Eli, Chofni and Pinchas, both died. The Abarbanel says there are five reasons why Hashem allowed the Aron Kodesh to be taken at this time. Number one, idol worship was prevalent. The idol of Micha, Pesel Micha, was still around, and unfortunately that was a sin that Bnei Yisrael not gotten over. Number two, Bnei Eli was a tremendous sin. Whatever they did, it was a tremendous sin, and therefore they deserved to die for that and the Aron to be lost for that. Number three, Bnei Yisrael sinned by removing the Aron Kodesh from the Kodesh HaKadoshim without asking the Kasha to Shmuel that were in Metumim. Number four, they never davened. They didn't daven. They relied on the assumption that God would save them because of the Aron Kodesh, and therefore Hashem allowed the Aron Kodesh to be taken. Number five, Hashem wanted to demonstrate to the Plishtim how awesome the Aron Kodesh is, as we're about to see. Vayoritish Binyamin Me'amarocha. A man from the tribe of Binyamin, Chazal say this was Shaul HaMelech, ran from the battle, Vayavo Shiloh, and he came to Shiloh by Yomahu on that day. Madav Kuim, his clothing was torn. Vadama Roshi had dirt on top of his head itself. Now, the Medrash says the most unbelievable thing in the world. When the Aron was taken, Shaul HaMelech ran to Goliath, who had taken a hold of the Aron Kodesh, wrestled with him, grabbed the Luchos out of the Aron, and ran back holding the luchos all the way to Shiloh. Now, that's unbelievable bravery, the fact that he went up against that. It was, according to the Medrash, 42 miles from the battlefront, 42 miles from where they were fighting the Plishtim itself. And even when King David, when David HaMelech eulogized Shaul HaMelech later on, he mentions this, that he was swifter than eagles, he was stronger than lions. He was referring to this over here, right, what happens over here. But it's strange, because it seems obvious that the Aron Kodesh had the Luchos when it was by the Plishtim, and that's why he kept doing all the crazy things. It seems very strange. If Shaul HaMelech actually grabbed the Luchos out and brought them over to Shiloh, right back to Eli HaKohen, where did they go for the next 300, you know, for whatever, so, you know, next 57 years until Shlomo, David HaMelech brought the Aron to Yerushalayim?
The Aron
what
came
happened
back
to it?
With the later on. No.
Right, but the Luchos weren't put back in because remember the Aron went to Kiryas Yearim and then it went to Givon and Nov was the Mishkan.
They could have put the Luchos back then, brought it back.
You're 100% right. It's just strange. Where did they go? Who brought them? Like, what happened to them? But they were sitting in Shiloh. You'd think you'd bring the Aron Kodesh back to where the Luchos
you'd
are
also
at that moment.
That,
yeah.
You'd I mean, they're telling us the situation was closed. Why didn't it tell us also that he was carrying the Luchos?
When I said it was Shaul. Yeah.
What?
When
right.
I said it was Shaul himself. Yeah. The Radak says, though, that this never happened. It's a midrash that has to be taken euphemistically because they're euphemistically.
So
I'm sorry.
I say that. So
it's
a
there.
When the Radak says it, okay.
If you become the Radak, I'll agree with you every time. Yeah, go ahead.
So why wasn't Shaul able to kill Goliath? Why did it have to wait to cover him out?
I would assume that Goliath was still too strong, but he was out of his desire to get the Luchos. It just shows how great of a person Shaul HaMelech was. I think that's the point of that message. That was the idea behind it, yeah.
Forget that if the Luchos were inside or out, the Kedusha of the Aron is not the Luchos.
I don't know.
It's the Kruvim that we're turning.
The Kruvim, but the
reason, what the purpose of it is to pull the Luchos. The Luchos
but
are
they
older
built
than
it before the Luchos.
You know, there's
broke.
Even a lot. There's a lav. There's even a lav to take the Luchos out of the Aron Kodesh. It's a lav. You
it's
can't do it. Yeah, it is a lav in the Torah itself, right?
One of the Rambam 613.
Tassim Luchos. You know, it might be. It's in the really? Sefer Achinuch, so it's probably based
but
on
like
the Rambam.
I mean, if they could never take it out, like do Hagavah to show everybody,
they
like,
never showed it. The Luchos were never shown. Luchos were never shown to anybody. Nobody ever saw the Luchos.
But then it's
the
but then it's like
but then
the
Aron
was built
strength.
Before the Luchos were broken, right?
Correct.
It was they weren't built.
For oh, whoa, we're not talking about the broken Luchos. The broken Luchos were shown because that was in the other Aron. This is the actual Luchos in the Aron. Yeah, in the Aron Kodesh itself, right? That in Parshas Tzava says they never came out. Or Chaim HaKadosh. Well, everybody said that the lav is right there. No, it might be the Ramban, not the Rambam. But I'm pretty sure it's the Rambam as well. But I have to check that up. But to take the Luchos out of the Aron is a problem. But the broken Luchos is a different story. That's a different story. Next, Vayavo. He came. Vine Eli Yoshev Alakise. Eli was sitting on a seat. Give me the word over there. Yad? Yad. Yad, Derech Metzapa, but it's spelled Yudchav, right?
Yep.
Right by the way where you could look out. Because he was so scared about the Ba'ir, the man came to tell the entire city, and the entire city started crying out loud, right? They were all crazy. Now, Eli was sitting at the front, right? By the paved road that was in front. But Shaul HaMelech didn't come that way. He came from all the way around, which is why Eli missed him at first, right? Chazal, it's interesting. His heart was trembling over the Aron Elohim, not over his kids, not over Klal Yisrael. He's trembling about the Aron Elohim. Vayishma Elias called to Aki, he heard the cries. Because again, the cries were coming from behind the city. He was sitting in front, but they came from behind. Vayomer Ma Kol HaHamad said, what's going on? What's the noise? Vayish Mihar, the man quickly went to the front of the city, Vayavo Yigal Eli, and he came to be able to tell Eli what was happening over here. So it says, Vayeli Ben Tishim Ushmon Hashana, by this time Eli was 98 years old. Vayinov Kama, his eyes had been set. Lo Yachal Leros, he was not able to see. It seems that they were fixed one spot, he could not follow motion. He may not have been blind. It's a shilah, or what it means, lo yochel liros. He wasn't able to see well, or he's not able to see at all. But he had something with his eyes. Vayomer Ishal Eli, the man said to Eli, Anochi abamin rocha, I, Shaul HaMelech, I came from the battle. Vayomer rocha nasi, and I had to run away from the battle. Ayom. Vayomer mel yadavar bini. So what happened exactly, my son? So you see, he's going slowly. He's not saying everything all at once like an idiot. He doesn't want to fool. This is a 98-year-old man whose son's just died, right? And the Aron Elohim was just taken by Vayanam of Asher, and the one who was telling over the news, he answered, Vayomer, and he said, Nasi Yisrael Lufnei Plishim. The Bnei Yisrael ran away from the Plishim, number one. The Gama Gefa Gedoyla Haisuva Am. There was a tremendous plague among the people. Many people died. The Gam Shnei Banecha Mesu Chafni and Pinchas. But not only that, but your sons Chafni and Pinchas died. The Arna Lakim No Kacha. And number four, the Arna Lakim was taken as well. That is the proper way to tell anyone anything. Whenever you say over bad news, you tell it stage by stage, so you don't just quickly say it and Chas V'Shalom caused the person to go down. But you see, he felt that the Arnold King being taken was the worst.
Yeah, but how do you get the that exempt from here? Because clearly his gradual increase did not work out so
well. Banechem. Oh, because he died? Because
he died. Yeah. So where do you learn the lesson?
There's another lesson I'll learn that I think might be taken from this. And the lesson is that Vayikas Kiros Arnold King, as soon as he mentioned the Arnold King, you know, up until that point, he was fine. But the Arnon Elokim was such a tragedy to Eli, Vayipo Mialakise, Acharanis. He fell off the chair backward. He did everything he was supposed to do, and Shaul is not blamed at all. In fact, he's called a Mevasser. Normally, a Mevasser is the Mevasser Besoros Tovos. Although there are Besoros Ros, a Mevasser in the Navi is called somebody that's good. But here he's called a Mevasser, even though it's something that was horrible. Because he said it in the right way, but Vayipo Mialakise, Acharanis, he fell backward in his chair. It's why your mom always tells you never to lean back in your chair. Right, because of Eli, Vad Yad Ashar, right by the gate, Vatishaver Mafraktai, and his neck broke. Vyamos, he died, Kizokin Ish, he was very old, Vichaved, and he was heavy. He had judged Bnei Yisrael for 40 years altogether, right, and that's what happened. Again, Chas V'Shalom, we should say something like this, but it was Mida Keneged Mida. Because he failed to secure the link to the future generation, says Miyamloes, therefore he fell over backward and cracked his spine. The spine, so to speak, is the connection from the head all the way down to the end of the body, right, and therefore when he didn't do for the next generation, Eli's sons did not follow in his way, that's why he died in that way. Kalaso Ishas Pinchas Hayah Lalas, Hara Lalas, his daughter-in-law, the wife of Pinchas, was pregnant, giving birth. She heard the news that the Aron Elokim was taken. And her father-in-law died. The Isha, as well as her husband, Vatichra. She all of a sudden kneeled over, Vatela, and she gave birth suddenly. All of a sudden, she had pains that came to her all of a sudden. If you'll notice, by the way, it says Lales, Lalas, in other words, instead of Laledes, right, it seems that it was a cry of labor. That instead of being the normal labor when you normally give birth, which is usually a little bit easier, this was horrible. And it happened at a very, very sad time. Okay, Ismu says she was dying. But the Nabernani itself was a lot of those who were standing around. They told her, Altiri, don't be afraid. Kivenulatus, you gave birth to a healthy son. Right? You gave birth to a son. But she did not answer. She didn't pay attention whatsoever. Right? And that's that. It sounds very, very sad. Three times we have somebody who dies in childbirth. We have Rachel Yemenu, we have Michal, Shaul's daughter, who seems to have died in childbirth, but that's a medrash, not straight up. You're right. It is in Divrei Yamin. There is a line in Divrei Yamin.
It does say that she died in childbirth?
The question is if it's Michal. Somebody, whoever it's referring to, Egla or whatever it is, right? And the third one is over here, Eishes Pinchas, which tells you, and Chazal say, remember how we said before the Chafni and Pinchas may have been so horrible, etc.? The Gemara says that Pinchas was a tzaddik. Where do you get that Pinchas was tzaddik over Chafni? How do you know that one, Chafni sinned, but Pinchas didn't? And it seems because it was written in singular, not plural, and it seems because his wife was such a tzaddikus, that she's mentioned in the presence of two other great people who died during childbirth. Vatikol and our Ikavod. She called the child Ikavod. There is no honor. Lema Gula Kavon Yisrael, all the honor of Bnei Yisrael has been taken. Ali Lokach, Aron Elkin Valchamiya B'Yisha. Because the Aron Elkin was taken, her father-in-law and her husband, everything was gone. Vatomer Galakov of Yisrael, she said, glory is gone from Yisrael, Kinukach Aron Elokim, because the Aron Elokim was taken. She said, straight out, it's because the Aron Elokim. Notice, she didn't mention her father or the husband directly. She only mentioned Aron Elokim. That was worse than that. The Ralbag says, this is again something you don't want to say. The Ralbag says, you can replace a Kohen Gadol. You can replace a Shofet. You can replace your husband. You can't replace the Aron Elokim. And that's why she was so sad about it.
But you could also argue a human being cannot be replaced.
A person cannot be replaced. But a box can be.
An object can.
Very, very good. Yeah, the Radak says that it was because the Aron Elokim could not be made because the Kadosh Baruch Hu made a command never to make it again.
Okay.
So it seems like that would be it.
I'm not minimizing, I'm just wondering. Because when do we see that human life is superseded by something else?
Yeah, you're right. That is strange. That is strange.
Say that a human body is just an object for the Neshama, so...
Oh, so the Neshama is going up to Shemayim anyway. Yeah. So even though you lost the body.
Yeah, but the way we handle ourselves
as
human life is
the most... Yeah, I definitely hear it. Following this, by the way, not only was the Aron taken, The Plishtim then went to Shiloh and destroyed the rest of the Mishkan. The people were able to run out with many of the kalim of the Mishkan and brought it to the area of Nov. Everything that they could carry, they brought to Nov, minus the Aron HaLakim, because the Aron was by the Plishtim. But they took everything else to Nov, the city of Nov itself, so, right? But so everything else was, well, they moved around and it was a problem. Yeah.
What were they covering the Luchos with?
That's weird. I'm sorry?
What were they covering the Luchos with?
I would assume they still had whatever they had. I mean, but the Luchos were covered by the Aron Kodesh itself. But oh, well, if Shaul HaMelech took the Luchos, yeah, we don't know. That we don't know. Maybe they put in something, who knows? We have absolutely no idea. And the last thing over here is that this was the 10th of Iyar. The 10th of Iyar. If anybody knows, I mean, this is a crazy thing. I don't know if anybody does this. There are people that fast the 10th day of Iyar because that was the day the Aron HaLakim was taken in Mishkan Shiloh.
It's been around
for 369 years. The Medrash, I would assume. Right? But they get it from there. But they fast on the 10th day of Iyar, and it's even in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch mentions about 25 dates where people fast, right? They're random dates. None of them are the ones that we fast today, the six that we have. Right, one of them is the 10th of year that's mentioned over there. All right, Perkei Pasagalam. Pollution local was Aron HaLakim by Yevihu May Evan Ezer Ashdoda. The pollution took the Aron HaLakim, they brought it from Evan Ezer, from that area where they were fighting, to the city of Ashdod, which was one of their capitals. The Yichu pollution was Aron HaLakim by Yevihu. Also, Beis Dagon. They took it and they brought it to Beis Dagon. They put it right by Dagon itself. Now, Dagon, without a question, was the Philistine, the Plishti god. What this was, we don't know. Dag obviously means fish. Own means power, some type of power. So there was some way. So there's Machlokas, obviously. Rashi says that from the waist up, it had a human form with hands, while from the waist down, it looked like a fish itself. Others say it was totally, like a merman. Merman, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, like that. Others say, and this is the Radak. The Radak says, no. From the waist, what's it called? That it was totally human in form. It was called Dagon, but it was totally human in form. It didn't have anything to do with a fish. Number three, the third answer is from the Ralbag. The Ralbag says the Plishim attributed to this god mastery over the fish of the sea, well, as it refers to over there.
Seafaring people. Yeah,
yeah, you would assume. You would assume. And that, therefore, they said like that.
What was the second opinion who said that?
Second opinion was the Radak. The Radak says that it just was Dagon in name, and that's that. There is something unbelievable about this. Now, this god, Dagon, that they followed, is still being worshipped today. Obviously not by the Palestinians, who are Arabs, right, and have no sheikhs to the Plishtim themselves. The Plishtim were always African. They were the sons of Ham, right? That was the Plishtim
they
themselves.
They just found that their DNA comes from Europe.
Yeah.
Do they really?
A few months ago.
See that?
Yeah.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. By the way, but the Plishtim are not there. But you know who does have this? There is in the Republic of Mali, M-A-L-I, it is a Western African country. They still believe and worship the god of Dogon, D-O-G-O-N. And it is the same thing. They have mass, they have everything, they have all this thing, and they have a picture of the god itself, of the idol itself. And it's a picture of a guy, of a man, holding this little thing on top of his head. He's got a spear in his hand, and he's got the little mermaid thing going on in the back itself. Yeah, you can look it up, right? I think I remember it's D-A-G-O-N or D-O-G-O-N, but you can look up M-A-L-I, Mali, together with Dogon, and you'll find it over there, right, with this guy. And this is exactly what the god of the Plishtim were. Now, the craziest thing about what the Malis believe, does anybody know what Scientology believes in?
Nobody knows.
They believe in aliens coming down from the third star of Sirius, S-I-R-I-U-S, who is the dog star, and they brought down, and they come, they're an underwater nation that comes and whatever, they're supposed to dress up as fish. It literally is the same thing that the people of Mali believe in, based on Dogon, which is their Plishti god. You see it right there?
There you go.
See that thing?
Right? This is talking about the
actual thing from Plishtim. Look at Mali. Oh, but right here, you see it right over here. Dogon men in their ceremonial attire right over here. Right there.
So
this is Dogon languages in Mali, Western Africa, south of the Niger Bend, near the city of Bandiagara. It's crazy. It's mamish. It's still being worshipped.
So
anyway, there's a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says they placed God, the Aron HaLakim, by their Dagon, their god, because it was a place of honor. Here's one god that goes to a next god. Reish Lakish disagrees. He says, no. They placed the Aron next to Dagon, saying this is the victor and this is the vanquished. Look what our god was able to do to the vanquished itself.
The whole Mesopotamia, this was like...
you're right. Serious like in the Dagon system.
Yeah, there's
right.
A bunch. I'm telling you, there's crazy stuff.
That's crazy.
Crazy stuff. They believe in aliens coming to Earth and that they gave them everything. And you should know, by the way, they have a Mesora from their great, about a third star that's there that scientists were not able to find until the mid-1980s. But they've known this for almost 150 years, that there's a third star there that is impossible to see even with a telescope from the naked eye. But they claim that the gods came from that planet. Crazy, right? And they only discovered it later on in the 1980s, they saw with the past the Hubble telescope, but it was something crazy. There's some really weird stuff with all this stuff.
If you point a telescope to anywhere in the sky, you'll see stars.
No. There's a cluster of three, and one of them is always hidden by the two stars that we know of as Sirius stars. There's Sirius A and Sirius B. And there's Sirius C that was only discovered later on.
Is this the one that's on Orion's belt? Is that what it is?
I don't remember. It might be. I don't remember, though. I don't want to say yes. V'ashkimu Ashdodim Yimachoras. Ashdodim, the people of Ashdod, got up there early the next day. Dagon nofel in front of Arza. Dagon fell in front on the land. L'fnei Aron Hashem, in front of the Aron of Hashem. V'yichu was Dagon. V'yeshivu was Salim Kolmo. They took Dagon. They put it back in its place, right? They saw it. It was so cool. They woke up in the morning. They saw Dagon lying, bowing down to the Aron Kodesh. Dagon did not just, it wasn't Aron Kodesh and Dagon was like that. No. Dagon was turned around, facing the Aron Kodesh, bowing down to the Aron Kodesh itself. That's how they found it. They found it as a servant bowing to its master. They got up the next morning. Again, Dagon was falling in front. This is no coincidence. The head of Dagon and its two hands were cut off and lay on the lintel. Rak Dagon Yishar Lev. Only Dagon itself remained as it was on it itself. Alkain. Therefore, the pasuk tells us, nobody walks in this area even until today, meaning whatever this day was. They refused to walk in this area because of what had happened
maybe
over there.
That's why they didn't step on the threshold. Is that what it's saying?
Nobody stepped on the threshold. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so they won't go on the threshold.
So this is where the superstition of don't step on the cracks.
Oh, very good. Very good. That's really good, actually. There's machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan learns from over here that even when an idol breaks, it still retains its status as idol worship. Because you see, they still worship Dagon even though it broke. So it still retains the status. Reish Lakish says, no. They stopped worshiping it, but they worshiped the threshold instead. They threw out the idol. And they worship the threshold instead of the idol itself. That's Reish Lakish's opinion. But there is a machlokas. We hold that if idols break, or even if a non-Jew breaks off a piece, that's considered that the Avodah Zarah is batal. There's nothing to worry about over here.
It was just broke on its own.
Yeah, so maybe that's a little
bit
different.
But also, I mean, yeah, or maybe they could say that this is really the god of the sea, and you know.
Maybe he has nothing to do with this. But they did treat it with a little bit of more respect than they had beforehand. Either way, they refused to do anything whatsoever. You want to hear the coolest thing? Do you have that picture again? Does anybody have that picture, like, right on their phone? So the two arms and the head was cut off.
Wait, the thing of the
actual picture of Dagon itself?
No, I don't have it.
Okay. That. Oh, this one doesn't have it. In the normal pictures, he does have some of it. You can see there's a line by where the neck is, and there's two lines by right there by the arms. It's the coolest thing in the world. I don't know why this doesn't have it.
Painted by a Christian artist.
They might have been. You're right. You might have been influenced. But it happens to be unbelievable that if that's true, I always saw that in that thing. I've never saw it anywhere, but I saw it in the picture that those two lines are right there.
They have a picture of it.
No, there are. Here, this is it. It's right there. This guy right over here. If you look it up, Dagon, right there.
Okay,
but that's that. Now it says, "V'tichvad yad Hashem al Ashdodim." Hashem's hand weighed heavy on the Ashdodim, v'yishimeim, and he devastated them. V'yachosam. Now look at the word over here. The word is written as ayin pe lamed yud mem, but we read it as batachorim.
Well, that's only in Gitavo. Here it doesn't say T.
It should be so on the bottom, maybe. Doesn't have a little thing? Batchorim. Yeah. We read it as Batchorim. Now, this is the second place where we have it. We have the second place where we have it over here. One is in Parshas Kisavo, and one is over here. Afolim versus Tchorim, as Asher v'Zgvula. Now, what happened over here? Tchorim is a disorder of the lower body. What it is basically hemorrhoids, or what we call piles. It's a disease that is caused by different types of mice and something that can happen. When they were going to the bathroom, they had horrible, horrible constipation, and they were sitting there. Mice and rats came up, bit their intestines. Bit their intestines, unfortunately, and went right back out. They bit their intestines and went right back out. What that means is they started bleeding all over the place, and when you go to the bathroom, you start bleeding, it causes them to erupt over and over and over again. They were bleeding together with going to the bathroom over and over and over again, and it was absolutely horrible. Again, they said that God doesn't have any plagues anymore. Says God, this is the worst plague that you can imagine. Now, the difference between Afel and Tahor is the difference.
Why is this the worst one?
What? It was unbelievably, I don't want to say the worst, you're right, a different very disgusting.
These people
were always scared of going to the bathroom for the rest of their lives. Right. Every time they went to the bathroom, they were scared out of their minds. Not too long ago, somebody told me in an apartment here in Chicago, right? They live in an apartment somewhere near, on the other side of Fitch, near you actually. But thanks. He went into the bathroom one day and he saw a drowned rat in his toilet.
Yeah.
And believe it was, it came in through the sewage system. Through the actual sewage system.
Meaning it was probably dead by the time it appeared.
And it just came up. Absolutely crazy, right? He flushed it back down. Flushed it back down. But it came inside. It did not come from the apartment itself. It came up the other way. I said, that literally is my nightmare. My nightmare of going to the bathroom and something comes out of the toilet. They say that happens in India all the time with snakes.
Don't go to
that there are snakes that are able to get through. It happens all the time with snakes. This is what happened to the plishim. Can you imagine this?
Well, they're not plishim anymore. They're Ashdodim. Why did that change?
The Ashdodim are of the Plishtim. They're one of the five cities of the Plishtim, right? Ashdod is one of the cities of the Plishtim themselves. And that's that itself. Now, again, the difference between Apolim and Torim, it depends on what part of the Tush that we're talking about
here. I thought that the difference was that it's the same thing, but one is a cleaner way of processing.
Exactly. Tachor is from the outside. Apol is from the inside. It is a deeper form of a hemorrhoid than the deeper form of
the Yishgalena and Yishgalena.
It's still painful.
One is just
I'd have to look it up.
One is just a crude way of saying it.
I don't think there's a difference when it comes to this. I think it's the same way. What do you say?
What's the difference? It's still painful. Who cares?
Yeah, agreed. It just, it's a wonder that we don't want to say it in such a fashion. Somebody once asked me, he said, you know, it's so amazing. What do you mean? So that means we changed the Torah itself. I said, no, we changed the reading. We do that all the time with Hashem's name. We never read Hashem's name as Yudke Vavke.
When did that happen?
Probably after the basement was destroyed.
There's an actual drawing of Dagon being bowing down to the...
Somebody drew that. I could draw that.
And then also, I guess that's where Starbucks came from.
What?
Mermaid.
Oh, the fish. The mermaid. That's cute. That's really cute. Anyway, but that's that. There's a lot more. Okay, so Reb Shaya Triani, which I just learned, he wrote the Tosis Rid. You know that? Rishai de Triani, he has a sefer on Nach as well. It's because they looked at the luchos, which are the sodas of Hashem, they were punished in hidden parts of their body, that the rice and the mice and the rats went further off. The people of Ashdod saw, this was so. It's one of my favorite lines in all of Navi. Kikain, okay, this is happening now. This is a thing, you know? But Amru, lo yeshav arna l'kei Yisroel imanu. You know what? We're not keeping this arm with us anymore. Ki kashasi yado aleinu. It's too harsh for us over here. He says, ba'al dagon l'keinu as well as Dagon, our God, Eloheinu. You're right. Vishukul v'yasuel is kosher n'pelushim aleim. They gathered all the officers of the pelushim. Manasel Aaron Elohei Yisrael. What do we do with the Aaron of the God of Israel? Gas Yisov Aaron Elohei Yisrael. Bring it to Gas. My sables Aaron Elohei Yisrael. Maybe it has to be further away from Dagon. And if it's further away from Dagon, then it'll be okay. So bring it over to Gas. Another one of the
Gas
cities.
Right now, I'm like, no.
So look at this. Vayachrei Sobo. So after they moved it, Vatiyad Hashem, Ba'ir Mehuma Gedolah Ma'od. There was an even worse uproar that happened in the city. Vayachas Anshei Erem Yikaltam Agadol, from youngest to oldest. It hit all of them. Yishor Salam Apolim. And it hit them as well. It was embarrassing. It was difficult to treat. And it got even worse, says the Ralbag. In Ashdod, they were on the surface. In Gas, they were internal. In Akron, over here, Vayishalchus Arnold came Akron. They sent it to Akron. They're like, wait, get it out of here. Vayikavor Arnold came Akron. As soon as it came near the city of Akron, Vayizako Akronim, where they started screaming. They're like, he stabilized Arnold, like Israel. Get it out of here. Let me see if you want to kill me and all my people? So,
why didn't they think to dump it in the Mediterranean or something?
I think they had too much respect. Even so, they still have respect. Well, there has to be something.
It was gold.
They'd probably get struck by lightning at this point.
They for sure were scared. But usually will be asked what's close. The question really is how they moved it. That's the real Shiloh. Who touched it? Uzzah puts a hand out and he gets killed.
Oh, right.
The people of Beit Shemesh are going to be killed. These people are
just like, they're clothes, didn't?
Yeah, you're right. Well, that's my kasha as well. How did they take it in?
No, but maybe with Uzzah it's different. Maybe he should have known better. But for the police team, okay, this is like
I hear what you're saying. I always thought, I just haven't seen it. I always thought they took Jews captive and they made the Jews carry it. That's what I always thought. That they never let the...
Or maybe if there's no luchot in there, like the midrash is literally correct, then that doesn't...
Then there's no luchot inside there and the arm is by itself. They thought, well, no, they thought the Arun of Elokei Yisrael. Oh. I should have been more clear about that. They didn't actually think it was a god. So either way, they gathered Vayishlach v'yasu was kol sarni pelishim v'yomu shalchos Arun Elokei Yisrael v'yashlu l'komo. We got to send it back. Hold on. So it doesn't kill me, v'asami and my people. Hold on. Because umumas mavas v'chol yir kav demod, because the confusion, the death is crazy. Yad Elokim Shem, the hand of God is all over there. V'anashim v'shalom mesu, but the people that didn't die, hukavat chorim, they were hit with this terrible disease. V'atal shavas at yir shamayim, and the screams went up to the heavens itself, right? That the screams were crazy, and that's that. What's up?
They had to have the luchos in it. Galus took it with the luchos in it. So
again,
no,
but if Shaul took him out,
but he, let's say he didn't.
Oh, meaning before Shaul took it, he took it at one point with the luchos in. Yeah.
They said at Aron of Israel that the Aron of the God of Israel, yeah, that they knew that this wasn't a deep, meaning it wasn't like an idol or something. Like, even though it had Kruvim on it, it's kind of surprising that they didn't.
Unless,
think this is some sort of...
What if it's our own dash Elokei Yisrael, who is the God of Israel? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think that... what's
but
the drop
a karma,
on it?
Meaning,
it's where is it?
At our own Elokei Yisrael.
Ashtar. Yeah, yeah, so it seems it goes together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm not so worried about it. It is strange. But look at what it says. In Pasuk Aleph, by Aron Hashem. Right, Perak Vav Pasagalova Yaron Hashem Bistay Polishim Shiva Chadashim was there for 7 months altogether. It was sitting in the open fields. It did not stay anywhere. Targum Yonasan Uziel says that the altogether, you know, throughout all the cities, all the places it was going, it was all together for 7 months altogether. Now, Avram Avinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he gave seven sheep over to Avimelech, when Avimelech ended up getting those seven sheep, he said, "By your life, because you gave away seven sheep to the Pelishtim, my Aron will remain in the land of the Pelishtim for 7 months." For those seven whatever things, that was 7 months. Vayikru Pelishtim l'Kohanim v'l'Kosim v'l'Emor. So they called over to all their priests, as well as their magicians. And they said, "Manas l'Aron Hashem, what are we going to do with the Aron Hashem? Hodiyuna b'mani shalchanim l'komo. How are we going to be able to send it back in its place?" Right? They didn't know. The way they said it, it's too much of a coincidence right now. What do we do? Vayomru. Imi shalchanim v'saron l'kei Yisrael. So they answered back and they said, if we want to send away the Aron Elokei Yisrael, this is what the magicians and the Kohanim were saying. They're like, I don't know if it's such a good idea to send it away. But if we do, you hear that line? Al Keshalko Osorekam. They may not have ever agreed. They might have thought it's still a coincidence. It's not a guarantee. No proof that God is doing it. It may very well be somebody else. He said, if it's him, Al Keshalko Osorekam, do not send it away for nothing. Don't send it away with nothing. Ki yashiv teshiv lo asham. You got to give back a gift along with it. Oz tirafu. Then you'll be healed.
V'nodu lecham lama lo selsu yad mikam. Then you then give it back. You're not going to say like maybe I'm not. Don't think you have to give it back. But if you give it back, give it. Don't just give it back. Give it back with a lot of stuff.
Meaning they were saying you want to keep it here. We can do something with this. This is a very powerful God, right? So we have something that we can do with this. Who knows what we'll be able to use it for? But if you want to give it back, you want to appease their God by giving it back, then give it back with something
but
that their
is
God
says
is
too meaning our choices are too extreme. It's not two things that are like kind of like usually when you're
no,
debating.
I think the other, they're not saying don't believe in it at all. They're saying it's coincidental, right? You're right. If it's coincidental, then it's
what
for sure that. I'm going the opposite way. I'm saying keep it biased because it's so powerful, or give it back
it
along with presents because it's so powerful.
The Imrish Halachim is just a figure of speech.
Yeah, well, treat it with more respect.
I would read this as saying, like, Imrish Halachim, if you're going to send it, don't just send it blood. Meaning, yeah, not. It's almost like an encouraged, like, kind of a rhetorical
I guess you're saying
statement.
Going into it itself. Yeah.
You know, we want God to heal us, not just
you're right.
Not
that is two extremes. That seems weird.
Where was the effort in the 7 months to get it back?
Oh, very good. That's one of the reasons why the people were killed later on. Hold on. What guilt offering should we give back to him? There are a number of officers of Plishim. There are five cities, five princes, right? Chamisha, there are five altogether. So what you have to do is you have to bring back Chamisha Aplezov, five golden hemorrhoids, chamisha achbarizov, and five golden rats. There is one plague for all of you and all of your lords. I just want you to think about this mind, this mindset over here. The mindset, I don't want to say of all non-Jews, the mindset of these Ovdei Avodah Zarah is that God is out to punish. So if you want to give a gift back, let it be something that shows, that depicts the punishment. We treat God as a God of mercy, who also has obviously Midas Adin. But mostly we have a Midas Arachman that goes through there. They're thinking of it as, like, look at what he's able to do, look at the punishments he can give you. And that literally should be the difference, the way we look at things, and some of the Avodah Zarah would look at things. We look at things as HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us for our good. He wants us to have the best thing that we could possibly have. While they look at it as God wants to punish us, what can we do to not deserve that punishment?
What does a golden hemorrhoid look like?
That's what I was going to say. What does that look like?
I'm not going to be graphic, but it's Google it. I'm telling you not to Google it, okay? Guarantee that would not be a nice thing to Google, but Baruch Hashem, you don't know. Baruch Hashem. Let's leave it at that. Let's hope we never have to know.
The skin that's coming off, or is it a depiction of the actual...
I think it's like that.
The feces with it?
No. I think it's the picture of the backside with some blown up shots inside there, whatever it looks like. Basis, I think. I mean, again, I've never seen them. Basis, tell me afalechem, but tell me achbarechem. Right? You should make.
GI doctor, and he does like colonoscopies. And
stuff. He really shouldn't. He shouldn't do that. He shouldn't do that.
What do you mean shouldn't do that?
It's the most disgusting thing. I have a friend who also became a GI doctor.
I know a bunch of GIs.
What are you thinking? Tell me, but tell me, Abraham. Somebody has to do it, you know. But you didn't have to choose that. so many other things.
Urologists have it much worse.
Agreed. Again, choices, people. But see, some tell me, Abraham. Hamashchisum is aret. Now listen to this: the rats, the mice that were destroying the land. That's weird. So some say that means the people that were in the land, right? And that's what it means over here. Others say since they were afflicting the people, they were afflicting the land itself. But it sounds like the mice and the rats were consuming the crops as well. When it starts on Lukei Yisrael, give it to the God of Israel as a kavod. Ulai akos yadam eilecha. Maybe he'll remove his hand from panami alalheichem, from your God, from your land. Why are you so heavy-hearted with this? Because you keep the Mitzrayim. Look what happened with Mitzrayim, Uparo, Eslevim, they were heavy-hearted. Hello, Kashritza, Lil Bahem, Vayishalchum, Vayelchu. You saw what happened to them, and they had to send them off. And once again, they're bringing up Mitzrayim, it's 400 years ago. 400 years ago, but again, that was the indelible impression that Yetzias Mitzrayim made on everybody, that 400 years later, people still knew about it. Here's what you got to do. Take a brand new wagon, Echos, that's one. Shtei parot alois, ashalo alaleim ol. You should two milking cows that have never carried a yoke, meaning you're going to test them in two different ways. Number one, the natural tendency of cows is to go after their calves, especially if they're still nursing. Number two, they've never carried a yoke before in their life. They don't know what they're doing. And number three, right, it's going to be, you're going to turn them in the wrong direction to see what happens. Vasartem is a paros ba'agala. You'll tie them onto the agalos themselves, the cows onto the agala. Vashevosim b'neim achareim abaisa, and take their kids home and now see what they do from there, see what ends up happening. If they end up pulling away from their kids and go in the other direction, it would be absolutely a supernatural thing that the Aron HaKodesh is doing. You'll take the Aron HaShem, put it on top of the wagon, that's Klei Azov, Asher HaShivosim Lo, Asham Tzim Ba'argaz. You'll take the Klei Azov that you make for it, you're going to put it inside a treasure box, Mitzido, on the side of it, Shalach Tumosov HaHalach, and you'll send it away and it'll go. Recently, Derek Vulo Yale, Beit Shemesh, if it goes by direction of Beit Shemesh, which is a southwesternmost city to where the Pelishtim were living, who also learned it was a rogged alasos, then we know it was God. They'll know that it's not God, it just happened to have been. And again, Beit Shemesh is uphill. Anybody who's been to Beit Shemesh knows that it's somewhat uphill. The cows are going uphill, right? That's the crazy thing. They'll know that it's a miracle. But Yasu Anashim came, so the people did the Vayichu Shtei Paros Olos. They took these two paros that were, you know, milking. They tied them onto the wagon. That's my name, called Babayis. And they took their kids and they brought them, they locked them up into a house. They put the Aron Hashem to the wagon. And the cows went straight on the road. Straight to Beit Shemesh. They went in one path. They were lulling or mooing as they were going. They didn't go right or left. They went straight until the borders of Beit Shemesh itself. Craziest thing in the world.
Interesting, they respected the border.
Yes. It seemed, well, especially after the war.
Yeah.
But it says, Vayisharna. They what's it called? They went straight, because Yashar, Yashar, Yamina, right? Like every Israeli tells you. It also means the word Shira. Chazal tell us that the cows were singing. Now, here's the crazy part. First of all, we do see that animals have sung before. We have ideas in Tehillim Tzadiches of the mountains cheering and the rivers clapping, but that clearly is not supposed to be taken literally. We have the idea of the Kolatzei Hasada Yiranenu, all the trees of the Sada will sing, etc. We do have those allusions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes through. And it could very well be that all they were doing was mooing, and that moo was like a song to their creator. It's very well may be. It's just a simple idea that's going through over here. But Chazal say that no, there was an actual power power of speech, just like Bilam's donkey, that were given to these cows that allowed them to speak. What did they speak? Here is the song I'm translating in English, okay? Sing, sing, you are made out of cedar. Ascend in your great glory. You are embroidered with gold. Praised with the palatial book, girded by the two kruvim. That's their song. How did it sound? I would assume very deep. Very deep falsettos. That's what I would assume. But I can't tell you right over there. That's one over there. Others say, they sang, all from the Medrash. Every single one is in the Medrash Rabbah. Number two, they sang Uz Yashir. Number three, they sang chapter 12 of Yeshaya, which obviously had not been created yet. Number four, they sang Tzadi Tess of Tehillim. Hasn't been created yet. Number five, chapter 93, Tzadi Gimel of Tehillim. Once again, hasn't been created yet. Number six, Tzadi Ches of Tehillim. Once again, hasn't been created yet. And number seven, it was cow language.
What's Perek Yud Bet of Yeshaya?
I don't know. We'll have to see it.
We'll get there.
Yeah, I didn't go through. It urges us to thank God and to tell the world of his wonders. And that's that. Okay, who knows what ended up happening. We'll end with this, guys, right over here. Yeshaya, chapter 12. And we'll end with this right over here by 13. Yud Gimel, ready? Beit Shemesh, Kotzim, Ketzir, Chitim, Ve'emek. Beit Shemesh, the people of Beit Shemesh, were reaping their wheat in the valley. Notice, even though the land by the Pelishim may have been taken care of by the rats and the mice and whatever it was, they were fine. By Yisus, and they lifted up their eyes. By Yiros, they saw the arm. By Yisus, they were so happy to see it. So happy to see it. Now, the crazy thing is, wait a second. We just said that the Pelishim captured the Arun in the 10th of Iyar, right? 10th of Iyar. 7 months later would be in Kislev. That's not how wheat works. Wheat doesn't grow in Kislev, which means it attests to a bountiful crop that they didn't, it was a miraculous crop after all that. And it's strange also what they did over here. They were happy to see it, but they should have been afraid to see it. There should have been a fear, a palpable fear. What is going on with the Aron Elokim? There should have been something more than just simcha and joyousness. And we'll talk about what happens next time. Pasuk Yud Dalet. We'll stop right there.